Hey, I'm Jake.
Hi, I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you.
Whoa. What are you doing? You know, no touching before the marriage, right? Because touching just leads to bad things.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
My name's Mark. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. Do you love kids?
I never really thought about
it. Okay, because I love kids. I mean, I want to have tons of them. I mean, the first one, naturally, I'd name Adam. And then if they're boys, you know, like Cain and then Abel. Well, maybe not. You know, Cain wasn't that great, but whatever.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. I'm Sarah.
Nice to meet you, Sarah. Well, you know what the Bible says about it. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, I need my eyes to drive, so I just wear this when I know there's going to be women around.
How beautiful you are, my darling. Your eyes behind your veil and doves, your eyes like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead.
Hi, I'm Bruce. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Father God, tell me if this is the girl that I'm going to marry. Please make it clear right now if I'm going to marry this girl.
I would love to shake your hand, but that was inappropriate. I'm sorry.
And then some of the girls I'd like to name, like Eve and Ada and Zella. And, you know, I'd want to stay away from, like, Jezebel or Bathsheba. I don't think they're very good.
Well, you know, I'm no King David. I mean, look what happened to him when he looked at a woman.
Tell me, you whom I love.
Right now, make it clear, Father God.
Do you go here?
I was also thinking, like, Oklahoma. I know it's not biblical, but I think it'd be a really cool name to name a daughter, you know? Like, Oklahoma, the musical, it's one of my favorite musicals ever.
Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon.
Nice to meet you.
Did you hear that? I'm gonna go call Mom and Dad.
This is torture. Wanna skip this and go get a cup of coffee?
Yes.
Hey, hey! Mom and Dad are on the phone. They wanna welcome you to the family. Hold on. What was your name again?
Kept reading out of Song of Solomon, he got a little creepy after a while, you know, like, your eyes are like some goats on a mountain. You know, I don't know, that just, I don't think that's really the right way to find the one you're going to marry. And thankfully, there's a lot better ways to do it. So as you guys know, Genesis 24, we've been talking about Isaac and Rebecca and how God has brought them together. Tonight, we actually finish up the chapter, believe it or not. This is our third week studying it. But as you guys saw from that video, that was obviously the wrong way to go about finding the person that you're going to marry. There's a lot better of ways to do it. But sometimes it gets kind of hard to figure out how. How in the world am I ever going to find that person, you may have asked. Well, as we study Genesis 24, We've learned so far some pretty important things that we're going to be reviewing tonight and then studying as we end the chapter. But so far, we've learned 7 out of 10 things to remember. And they're right there on the back of your bulletin if you want to follow along. And the last 3 things tonight, you'll be able to fill in the blanks. We learned, first of all, about getting off to a good start. And we talked about the first 3 things on the list, the importance of starting there, having a biblical foundation, recognizing that, like the first one says, relationships deserve respect. Then we talked about keeping up the pace. And it's often good to start good, but just like we saw, you guys remember the Super Bowl, even if you start good doesn't mean it's going to finish good. And you can always try to judge it by how it starts, but that's not always how it's going to end. So it's good to keep up the pace. And then today, we are going to be discussing how to make it last. Making it last. So lots of different things that we've talked about. Let me just kind of, before we jump in this, tonight, let me kind of recap Genesis 24. You guys remember Abraham was real old. Isaac was probably about 40 years old by this time. Abraham decides to send one of his servants, probably Eliezer, to go find a wife for his son Isaac. So he travels about 450 miles to Abraham's hometown, or right outside of his hometown, a place called Nahor. And he gets there, he prays to God, he says, God, please provide this woman that I'm supposed to bring back with me to marry Isaac. God provides almost immediately. In fact, we read that God provided the answer to his prayer almost before he quit praying. He was still talking as God was answering his prayer. So you guys remember Eliezer proposes to this girl. Not normally how we would. He didn't like get down on one knee and give her a ring. You guys remember what he gave her? Bracelets and a nose ring. You remember that? Like, hey, you should marry my buddy back home that you don't know. It'll be fun. So here's a nose ring. Cool, go get pierced. That'll be great. There will be a wedding. So that's kind of where we're at. And he's proposed to her. They are now betrothed to be married. And now it's about time. He's begun to... He's asked who the family is, and now he's about to meet them. So that's kind of where we meet up with him. Let's start back in verse 29 of Genesis 24. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man. And there he stood by the camels at the well. Now, at this point, who knows? Laban might want to beat the guy up. But he goes to talk to him, verse 31. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Then the man came to the house, speaking of Eliezer. And he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So as I mentioned, we've learned numbers 1 through 7 so far on our top 10 things to remember. Tonight we start with number 8 on that list. And that is spread the story. Spread the story. Now sometimes there are certain things about you that you don't want to spread. Would you agree? You don't want people to really know about. In fact, maybe it was like, the time that you peed your pants in first grade 5 times, right? Or the time that you were playing baseball and you got to third base and you really had to go to the bathroom really bad. And you were standing on the base, and not that I know about this, but you were standing on the base and then you couldn't hold it any longer. And so you peed your pants right there on third base. And then had to go slide into home base, and so your pants were mysteriously muddy after that. That's something that if that were to happen to you, I don't know if that has happened to anyone, you probably wouldn't want it spread, right? You'd probably be a little embarrassed. So there's certain things that you kind of want to keep on the down low. There's other things, though, that you'd get really excited about, you know? For instance, if you won the lottery, that's not something that you would just keep to yourself. Like, hey, secret, I won $1 million. Don't tell anybody, you know? No, you go, like, buy cars and, like, buy restaurants, you know? You'd just be stoked. You'd be, like, blowing your nose with money and, you know, it'd be great, right? money would be everywhere, and you'd be telling everybody, you'd be buying your friends stuff, all kinds of good stuff. You would want everybody to know about this great news. You'd be stoked. Well, that's exactly how Eliezer is. He is so excited that God has answered this prayer that the first thing he wants to do is tell Rebekah's family all about it. So we're not going to read it tonight, but verses 34 through 48, about 14 verses, he spends recounting the last couple weeks of his life and how God has brought him from a long ways away, over 400 miles to this place, how he prayed for a very specific sign, how before he was done praying, God answered that prayer, and he just begins to tell, man, this, and now this happened, and then this happened, and oh, it's so amazing, and I'll bet he's out of breath. In fact, he hasn't even sat down. In fact, he's so excited that verse 33 says he wouldn't even eat until he could tell this story. Now, he must be pretty excited. You guys know me. I'll probably eat before I tell the story, you know? But this guy, he's like, no, don't even give me food. I have to tell you what's going on. This is so exciting. So he tells the story, how God provided and how he's blessing this whole thing. So he spreads the story, tells the family exactly what is going on. And I would challenge you guys down the road, when God provides that person for you, spread the story. Don't keep it to yourself. Be excited about how God has answered your prayers. Who knows? I've been there. I've experienced how when you're able to say, man, it's been so cool to see God work in our relationship, God can use that to minister to other people. Maybe he would even use what he's done in your life to bring somebody else to faith in him. How cool would that be? So spread the story. Tell people about what God is doing. That's number 8. Number 9, submit to God's schedule. Look at verse 49. So, as I mentioned, verses 34 through 48 is him retelling the story. This is what happened. Verse 49. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So basically he says, here's what happened. God made it very clear that this was the woman I'm supposed to take back. But now it's up to you. You're the family. I respect you as the family. So tell me what I should do. Are you guys going to be kind to my master Isaac who's at home? Should I take her back with me? Or what should I do? Let me know. Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel, who are the brother and the dad, answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good." So, Eliezer obviously was a little uneasy. He didn't exactly know how these people were going to respond to this. And so, he asks these guys. He says, well, what do you want me to do? This is God is providing, but I need you guys to tell me, should I take her home with me? Or do you guys need her to stay here? What should I do? Because he understands that it's in God's hands. But the great thing is, these guys have the right reaction as well. Like we just read in verse 50, they said to him, "The thing comes from the Lord." They can tell from the way he's acting, by the story he has just told them, that God has very clearly put this together. And so they submit to God's schedule. Now, you guys know how it is. You guys don't always like to submit to other people's schedules, right? Wouldn't it be great if we were all on our own schedule and we could do whatever we want? You know, maybe we still had to go to school, but you could do it whenever you wanted to do it, right? Probably most of us, that would never get done, right? Oh, no, I'll do it next year or in 50, right? So being on your own schedule is kind of hard. Actually, it's great. But submitting to someone else's schedule is often kind of hard. I remember that from when Emery was born. She kind of disrupted my schedule a little bit, as you can imagine. If any of you guys have ever, you know, had a younger brother or sister crying constantly in the middle of the night, it gets a little tiring, especially when you have to get up and feed her and, you know, do whatever. And so it's not always too easy of a transition. But I remember her schedule was completely different from mine when she was first born. 2 p.m. in the afternoon, when I was awake, it was sleepy time for little baby, all right? And she just wanted to be passed out. She would wake up every couple hours, feed me, basically, is what she said, by her screams. And then she would go back to sleep. But then, during the middle of the night, it was like party time for her, okay? Now, for me and Jen, we would have preferred to be sleeping, you know? But 2 a.m., she's ready to party. And I think, like, in her head, lights turned on. You know, there's like this little, in her bassinet that she sleeps in, there's like this little mobile of bears that goes around her head. I think those at 2 a.m. in the morning in her mind turned into disco balls, you know. And she was like, yeah, you know, partying in her crib. I remember one time we swaddle her real tight so she's kind of wrapped up in her blanket, stays real warm. And I put her down in her bed like that. And she woke me up at like 2 or 3 in the morning and she had gotten one arm out. And she was kind of like waving it around like this. And I was like, what are you doing? You're a psycho, you know. But 2 p.m., she was asleep. 2 a.m., when I wanted to be asleep, she was awake. And so I kind of had to somewhat submit to her schedule. Now, finally, she's gotten turned around, and she likes to party during the day and sleep at night. That's great. She's finally learned that our schedule is the one that really works. And that works great for us as well. But sometimes it's hard to submit to somebody else's schedule. We don't always like it. So how do you submit to God's schedule when it comes to relationships? Well, honestly, right now, God may be telling you this is not the time for you to date. I want you doing something else. I want you just having fun. I want your focus to be elsewhere. Maybe it's not going to be till years down the road till God brings that person into your life. That's okay. That's God's schedule. Maybe what he's saying is the guy or the girl that you're with right now, it's not the one. Not the one for you. Maybe God is telling you, whatever it may be. And you're thinking, well, but I'm 12. I have like years of experience, you know? Okay, maybe you do, all right? But God's timing is always better. Remember what Laban said, the brother and the dad said to Eliezer in verse 50, the thing comes from the Lord, they said. God's got it all planned out. And if God has it all planned out, who are we to go against that? Submit to God's schedule. Number 10 on the list, delight in God's design. Sometimes people forget that God created marriage. Sometimes people forget that God created marriage between a man and a woman. Somewhere down the line, I think they forgot that it was Adam and Eve and thought it was Adam and Steve in the Garden of Eden, you know? Not the way God created it, all right? Romans 1 talks a little bit about it. It says, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. God designed man and woman very specifically for a reason. He designed us that way for a reason. And there are serious consequences when we go against God's design, God's plan. There's a lot of ways people go against it. That's one example, homosexuality. Another that's even more prevalent, any kind of premarital sex. That goes against God's plan for you, for any of us. God designed sex for the boundaries of marriage. And when you go outside of that, there's consequences. I read some pretty disturbing statistics today. According to a New York Times study, 20% of teens have had sex before their 15th birthday. 20% before they turn 15. That's a freshman or a sophomore in high school. One of seven of those girls who had had premarital sex, by the time they were 14, had already been pregnant. That's the world we live in. In fact, I remember when I was working at a restaurant, I was probably about 17 at the time. There's another girl I worked with who was probably 16. Before I came there, she had already had an abortion. In the 1 year that I worked there, she had her second and third abortions while I was working there. And the reason is because sex was just okay. That was what was fun in her mind. But having a baby, that was the bad consequence. And so when the baby came, they had to kill it. And that's what abortion is. And that's an unfortunate thing when we get caught up thinking that our life or the way we want to do it is the best way to do it. God has a design and a plan. And Isaac found that joy, found that delight in God's design. Verse 59 says, So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. So they sent her. Rebekah leaves with them, and they start to head home. After weeks of traveling, they finally get to where Isaac is. Look at verse 64. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. You know, what's interesting is that sometimes in Bible times, that you know, you guys remember we talked about it, they were often betrothed to be married, and so the parents would pick out who the kids were going to marry. Well, I found out as I was doing a little research on this, a lot of times when the marriage actually happened, the woman would have her face veiled, and that was just part of the custom, and the groom would lift the veil, and sometimes he would be really disappointed. Can you believe that? Like, oh man, we're finally married. Oh. Wow. Maybe we could work out a different arrangement now, you know, or something. They were often disappointed. Isn't that terrible to think? But the great thing is that God's design, as we saw, brought love and comfort into Isaac's life. That's exactly how God intended relationships. No room for disappointment. Let me tell you this. If you follow God's plan for relationships, I've got two words for you. You ready? Get ready, because God's going to blow your mind. It's going to be incredible if you're willing to follow God's plan. I wish I could put that into words, but God has such a great plan that if you're willing to follow it, it is going to blow your mind. And you'll finally be able to delight in God's design for relationships. Last time we studied in Genesis 24, we looked at the first three of six traits to look for in a future spouse. We're going to finish up that list here in just a minute. Look back with me at verse 54. "And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, 'Send me away to my master.'" Skip down to verse 57. "So they said, 'We will call the young woman and ask her personally.' Then they called Rebekah and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" The fourth trait to look for is faithfulness. Now remember how big of a decision she's making here. Her new home is over 450 miles away. She's never even seen the guy that she is committing herself to marry. She'll probably never see her family and her friends ever again. But she knows, and it's very evident to her, that this is where God is leading. And so she takes the step. Someone who has faith in God's plan despite the obstacles, that is who you want. That is a trait to look for. Look at verse 64. "Then Rebekah lifted her eyes." This is actually, they're almost all the way home. She lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. Number five on the list is respect. Look for respect. Now, in this culture, when someone of higher rank than you approached, and you were riding a horse or a camel or a donkey or a ostrich, I guess, or whatever you were riding, penguin or whatever, as they approached, If they were of higher rank than you, then you got off your penguin or whatever you were on. You dismounted, okay? That was a way to show respect. In fact, it's interesting, this word in the original language literally means she leapt off of her camel. She was like, hey, Eliezer, who's this guy? And he says, oh, that's my master. And she's like, whoa, and flies off the camel, you know, jumps off the camel. Okay, I really want to respect this guy. Now, you're thinking, okay, cool. I understand we should look for respect, but I don't know if I can really apply the did she get off her camel when I approach test, you know? I don't know if girls usually do that or really even ride camels in the first place. Now, that's true. You know, I don't think you'll ever really be worried about that, like, oh man, she's so beautiful and she's so pure and she's not lazy and she's so great and she's so faithful, but that's right, she didn't get off her camel when I approached her. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. She just stayed on that camel as I walked up, you know. Now, obviously, you're not going to probably run into a problem with that, but he or she can respect you in many different ways. Look for respect in a lot of different ways. That they're not pressuring you physically. If they are pressuring you physically, they do not love you. I can tell you that right now. 1 Corinthians 13 says that love is patient. It waits. Maybe you can look for respect and that they'll respect your family. They'll respect you in the way that they talk to you or treat you. There's a lot of different ways that they can do this. So look for it. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about the importance of a husband and a wife respecting each other. Let's look at our last thing, verse 65. For she said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. Number 6 on our list of traits is modesty. Basically, that word means keeping yourself covered, not bringing attention to yourself by what you're wearing or your outward appearance. And that, obviously, you guys see it, unfortunately, all the time. Modesty is overlooked and underappreciated in our society. It's looked down upon, in fact. I was just at the mall yesterday, and half the time when I was walking by stores, I had to shield my eyes from the mannequins in the window, you know? It's gotten that bad. Just walking through the mall, it's terrible. I love this verse in 1 Timothy 2. Write this down, 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. And I would say that last verse applies to guys as well. Verse 10, for guys who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. We have clothes for a reason. Wear them, plenty of them, all right? Cover yourselves up. It's a great way to honor the Lord, to honor your future spouse. I was online today. I found a guide on girls how to dress when you're wearing dresses from 1868. Okay, check this little chart out. Basically, it tells you the length of your dress at however many years old you are, all right? So when you're 4 years old, your dress should be to your knee. 8 years old, it goes down a little further. 10, 12 years old, it should be middle of your shin. 14, 16, by 16, you shouldn't even be able to see your ankle, okay? Especially when you're wearing those fancy shoes that you guys always wear like that, right? I always see you girls wearing those. So, now, obviously, they dressed a little bit differently in the 1800s, and you're probably not going to have to worry about wearing a dress down to the middle of your shin, but cover yourselves up. Guys, girls, dress modestly. It's okay to dress in style, but don't be the cause of someone else stumbling into sin. Dress appropriately. So let's do a little review here as we've just about finished up this chapter. 10 things to remember in relationships. They're right there on the back of your bulletin. Number 1, relationships deserve respect. They often don't get respect, but they deserve it. Number two, morals really matter. Make sure you're with somebody that you see eye to eye with on these issues. Number three, plan on God's provision. God's got somebody out there for you. Number four, prayers are powerful. Pray for that person. Number five, search for a sign. Wait for God to provide the sign that this person is the right one. Number six, respect the relatives. Your relatives, their relatives. Number seven, praise the provider. Thank the Lord for all that he's done and provided. Number eight, like we learned tonight, tell everybody, spread the story. Number nine, submit to God's schedule. And number 10, delight in God's design. And then we also looked at six traits to look for in a future spouse. We learned the first couple weeks, beauty. Number two, purity. Number three, energy. Tonight, four, faithfulness, respect, and modesty. Those are all great things to remember and to look for. I read an interesting news story today. How many of you guys like puppies? Anybody? Puppy fans? Okay. Now, you may not like this one at first, all right? Read about a dog in China, little puppy, poodle, I believe. I liked his name. His name was Doo-Doo. Really was. D-U-D-U, okay? So Doo-Doo the puppy goes on a walk, and she's out there with her owner, gets really excited, escapes the leash, runs out into the street, gets hit by a van. In fact, the news story said, the woman recounting what she saw said the dog flew through the air and hit the curb. So, of course, the owner is freaking out. She runs across the street. By the time she gets to the dog is bloody and has stopped breathing. So she picks up the dog, makes this slow, sad journey home, and buries him in the front yard of their apartments. Okay, just out in the dirt, digs a little pit, buries the dog. Goes back up, she's probably really sad. Couple hours later, she gets a phone call from the owner of the apartments. Hey, your dog's outside the door. It looks kind of beaten up. She's like, my dog? What? You know, she walks outside and the dog's like, kind of like staggers up to her. Like, covered in dirt, dried blood. It's just kind of gross, you know. The dog is alive. She picks up the dog, rushes him to the hospital in time to save this dog's life. Can you believe that? So they're guessing probably what happened was by the time she got to the dog in the first place, he was in shock and had quit breathing, but wasn't completely dead. Then she buried the dog, literally alive, and then the dog woke up in the grave like, I don't think I like this. And he started digging out, you know, dug himself out, and then went and sat in front of the front door waiting for his owner to come back out. Can you believe that? That dog had some determination to make things last. Would you agree? He wasn't about to end in a little shallow grave when he wasn't really dead. That's great. He had some determination. Tonight, you guys have an opportunity to do something really cool. You guys have an opportunity tonight to make your purity last. And what I've created for you guys tonight is a card that's called My Pledge to Purity, all right? And in just a moment, you guys are going to be able to have a chance to fill one of these out for yourselves. And this is for those of you who are serious about saving yourself for marriage. For those of you who are serious about following God's plan for relationships, very important. Let me read to you what it says on the back. It says, I acknowledge that God has created me in his image and saved me from the consequences of sin. Because of this, I want to do anything I can to please him. So today, and you'll write the date, I pledge to remain pure as God prepares me and my future spouse for marriage. And then under that, it says, here are some ways I will accomplish this. And you can write some ways, some steps you want to take to remain pure. And at the bottom, you can sign it. And then this is for you to take home. Frame it, keep it where you can see it, do whatever you can to keep this on, reminding yourself about this. I was reading a little bit about other people who have done this, who have taken a pledge for purity. And the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people may take this pledge, but they don't take it very seriously. I read this about a study that they did that examined the sex lives of 12,000 teenagers. And it said, teens who pledge to remain virgins until marriage have the same rates of sexually transmitted diseases as those who don't pledge abstinence. The message is really simple, it went on to say. Just say no may work in the short term, but it doesn't work in the long term. This pledge for you tonight is for those of you who want to make it work in the long term, who are ready to make it last, who are ready to take it seriously. So in just a minute, I'm going to ask you if you want to take this pledge tonight, and you want to say, I am ready to devote myself to God's plan for marriage. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to stand up where you're at, and I'm going to pray for you. And then in just a moment, we're going to have leaders around the room that will have these cards for you that you can go to and fill out. Because this is so important for you guys to understand. We learned tonight, the very last thing in the list was delight in God's design. I can tell you that if you don't follow God's plan, there will be no delight in the future of your relationships in your life. So right now, if you're ready to take the stand, and you're ready to stand against impurity, you're ready to stand against selfishness and temptation that's around you, and you're ready to stand for God's plan in marriage, I want you to stand up right now. And I want to pray for all of you guys. Chris is going to come up and lead in worship. Now, this doesn't have, don't feel pressured to stand up. This is for if you are serious about this and you understand the importance of it. Give yourselves a hand. That's awesome. I hope that you guys understand a little bit of what you're committing to. This is a big deal. And so right now what we're going to do, Chris is going to close in worship. We've got enough cards for everybody that comes this whole weekend. And so we'll have leaders available around the room. Take a minute, talk to the Lord about your commitment. When you're ready, go find a leader, fill out your card. And when you're done filling it out, feel free to take off for the night because church is out. But let me pray for you guys. And then when you guys are ready, don't rush. Please take this seriously. But when you guys are ready, go find a leader and get this card filled out. Let's pray. God, you are just so incredible. And we love that you have designed and planned out relationships. And God, I pray for each student in this room that is standing up right now. Symbolically, they are standing for you and against the way the world does it. God, I pray that right now you would implant in their hearts a passion and a fire to stay pure before you, to save themselves for marriage. Lord, there are so many things they could get into, whether that is lust, whether that's pornography, whether that's premarital sex. There are so many things, Lord, that are tempting all around. And Lord, I pray for every student in this room that they would stay pure. They would give those areas of their lives to you. And Lord, we give that to you tonight. And we ask that you would help us to resist temptation. In your name, amen. And maybe tonight, spiritually, you kind of look like that little dog that we talked about. And you're kind of dirty, and you're kind of beat up, and you know that you've made some mistakes, and you've done things you shouldn't have done. Tonight's the night to get that right. Leaders are available not only to give you the cards, but to pray with you. And if you need to just confess, say, man, I've done some terrible things. I've made some mistakes. Talk to the leader. We want to pray for you. So right now, spend a couple minutes. There's no need to rush, but let's spend some time worshiping, and then when you're ready, go find a leader. They'll hook you up with a card. You can fill it out, and then you guys can take off for the